We find in Parashas Boy, beginning of the parasha, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that something amazing is going to happen, and I want you to tell it over in order that it should be told over. Baznei bincha, ben bincha, in the ears of your sons and your grandsons, all the miracles that I performed in Mitzrayim. And what's the end of the pasuk? V'yidatem, and you will know that I am Hashem. So the Belzer Rebbe asked, it's not v'yidatem. It should then, they should know. Right? You should tell your grandchildren, you should tell your children, so they will fear Hashem. Not so you should fear Hashem, but the v'yidatem. So he says a gewaldic idea in psychology. It says that when you talk about Yerush Hashem, and you talk about Hashem, forgetting the fact that your kids will become Yerush Hashem, you will be a Yerush Hashem. It will change you. V'yidatem, and you will know Kiyana Hashem. If you spend all day long telling your kids, you should know, Hashem is amazing, Hashem is fantastic, Hashem did this miracle. Forget the kids. Either the kids will grow up to be great kids, but you will become a better person. The more we talk about things that are important to us, or that we value, or that we express chashivas to, it changes who we are. V'yidatem means we will know Hashem. Forget them. Avada, they will. But we as well will also know HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's great. It's a very interesting idea in psychology. You know, everyone knows that when you want to behave better, so you want other people to learn from you, so you have to be better. When you become better, then everyone else can learn from you as well. Then we find over here another interesting thing. We find that the Chiddush HaRim says this vart. It says in the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paray, I don't know what we can take with us because I don't know what we're going to need. Because v'anachnu lo neida manavei des Hashem ad bein Hashem. We don't know how to serve Hashem until we get there. Says the Chiddush HaRim, the pasuk reads like this. V'anachnu lo neida, we don't know how we're supposed to serve Hashem in this world. We have no idea what our real calling is in this world. We have no idea why we were sent here. We think we were sent here for X and Y. Maybe it's really we were supposed to do something completely different. Maybe we're supposed to get involved in chesed. Maybe we're supposed to start an organization. Maybe we're supposed to start something else. We don't know. When do you know, says the Chiddush HaRim, Ad Beinu Shama. It's not until you get to the next world. It's not until you finally get up there. Do you find out, did you or didn't you live up to your demands of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected of you, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu anticipated of you? So we don't know. As Yidden, we never know what's... People say, I'm maxed out. You're not maxed out of anything. You don't know what your max is. You don't know if you're supposed to be doing more. Should you be growing more? Should you be doing more? Should you be more involved? And then we find a very interesting conversation that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a request. Daber, no, please. Please ask the Jewish people to ask their Mitzrayim friends to borrow Kalim before they leave Mitzrayim. So we know the Gemara says in Baba Kama that Re'eyu is always excluding a guy. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, if a shar gore is another shar, says the Pasuk, Ki yigach shar ish as shar Re'eyu, when one shar will gore its friends. So the Gemara makes a drasha in Baba Kama in the fourth parak, Re'eyu v'loy akum. Goyim are not called our friends. So the Rishayim have a kashas over here. How do you read this pasuk? It says in the pasuk you're supposed to borrow kalim from your friend. But you told me a guy is not my friend, so who am I borrowing the kalim for? So Rabbeinu Bechaya writes that before Matan Torah, Re'eyu was also a guy. He was also called your friend. Even though Avad, the Jews and Goyim and Jews were different. But before Matan Torah, we weren't as different. After Matan Torah, we became completely different, completely separate people. Then it's no longer called Re'eyu. The Vilna Gaon says, Pshat, no, you're supposed to borrow from the Jews. Because the only way we're going to get out of Mitzrayim is if we have Achdus. So we're going to go around breeding Achdus by each borrowing from each other, each asking each other for something else. Again, they didn't have much. They were all slaves for 200 years. But whatever you had, you shared, you created a certain bond of unity, and that will be our ticket outside of the Galus. The Gemara says in Brachas, those who did Daf Yomi, right, everyone's still in it for the most part, right? We're still in it yet. We didn't get to our... I must admit I'm behind, but okay, that's just me. I got to catch up. But most of us did Daf Ches. Daf Tes, right? The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very nervous. What's going to happen? Avraham Avinu is going to come in with a taina. Hashem, you kept half the deal. You told me two things. That you're going to make my children suffer, and then they're going to go up Ruchosh Gadol. So you have to keep both ends of the deal. So Hashem says, I'm asking the Bnei Yisrael, please go around, gather the money, because if you don't get the money, I'm going to be held accountable from Avraham Avinu. So the question that Zalman Sorotskin asks is, you know, why do you have to be requested? What was the hesitancy on the Jewish people's side? So he says a gewaldic idea. He says there was a big discussion after the Holocaust. In the 1950s, should you take war reparations? Big discussion amongst the Gedolim of that time. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rabbi Soloveitchik was against it, if I'm not mistaken. He was very against it. Rav Moshe Bick was very pro, what someone just told me the other day. A very big fundamental shaila, is it correct to take war reparations? What's the downside? Because it looks like it's a slicha v'kapara. Right? You did what you wanted the Jews for 6 years in the Holocaust, and you wreaked havoc, and you did horrible things, and you give a few dollars, it's all forgiven. So many people felt that that's the wrong message. So says Reb Shalom Sorotsky, and that was the hesitancy of the Bnei Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael said, we're not going to take this, we're going to borrow from the Mitzrayim. They're going to give us what? They're going to give us their laptops, and we're going to go out and say, oh, everything's forgotten. All the 200 years that they killed us, and they bathed in our water, and they crushed baby skulls, all's forgiven because they paid for it. They didn't want to. Mamash, the same issue of war reparations. And therefore, it was difficult for the Jewish people to go around asking it. But Hashem said, listen, I'm asking you a personal favor. I gotta make good on my deal to Avraham Avinu, and therefore, I'm asking you, please, daber, no, I'm asking and I'm requesting, please, can you do your end of the deal? Then just an interesting idea. We get to the end of the parsha, and the end of the parsha is basically the sugya of, Pesach. So if you want to prepare for your Pesach Seder, I urge you to read Parsha's Boy. It's really going to be the best prep for the Pesach Seder. Everyone forgets this, and they jump to other things. Good old-fashioned Parashas Bo, read the Chumash, the Rashi, the Ramban, the Aruch Hayim. I'll keep you busy the whole Pesach Seder, I'm not worried. But over there, there's an interesting conversation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe tells the Jewish people, there's going to come a time where we're going to leave and we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and there's going to come a time where your children are going to ask you what's going on, and you'll tell them the story of Pesach. Says the Pasuk, Vayiktu Vayishtachavu, the people were so taken, they bowed down, they were so happy. What were they so happy about? So Rashi says, they were happy that they're getting out of Mitzrayim, they were happy that they're going to go in territory. So on the third thing they were happy about, they were going to have kids. I mean, they're going to have kids. They've been having kids all along. Well, what's this newfound? Oh, Baruch Hashem, you're going to have kids. So Moshe Feinstein said, it's a beautiful idea. You know what they're saying? You're going to have kids, they're going to actually ask questions. You're going to have kids, they're going to one day wake up and say, what's going on over here? What's the pshat? What does the Kivegir mean? What does the Rambam mean? Kids that just go along with the program, that's not such a grace or shvach. You want kids that are going to be questioning. What does this mean? What does that mean? What's going on with this? What's going on with that? And they say that's the difference between, if you look in the Haggadah, the Chacham and the Rosh basically ask the same kasha. What's going on over here? So Rabbi Fran points out a very subtle difference. The Chacham says it when? Ki yishalcha bincha mochar. The kid asks after the fact. The kid puts on a tefillin and he says, Dad, why do we put on tefillin? The Rosh says, I'm not putting on tefillin until someone gives me a good reason. It's a whole different attitude. You want to ask questions? Fine. Mochar. After you do what Hashem says, because Hashem says so, then we can sit down. We'll learn the Sefer HaChinuch, and we'll learn Tamiya Mitzvahs. All is fine. But if you're not going to do it in the first place, you don't even want to take your first step forward, it's not going to work. It's a very interesting idea in dealing with people that are anti-religion. You have to first find out where the blockage is. If they don't even want to come to the table, they don't even want to hear it, because first tell me why, or just do it, because Hashem said so, and then we'll be more than happy to discuss the background. But I want to really get to is a very interesting Rashi in last week's Parsha. Rashi tells us, Rashi has a kasha. In fact, Rashi, why did Hashem bring Makas Choshech? Famous Rashi. It's a Pella. Where was Rashi for the first 8 Makas? Rashi doesn't ask anywhere throughout Ve'er and Boy, why do we have Dom Tzvadei Kinim Arvidei Rishchin Barodak? Doesn't ask. Comes to Choshech with a kasha. In fact, Rashi, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring Choshech? Okay, that's a good kasha. So Rashi says, because you should know, during Makas Choshech, there were Jews that didn't want to leave Mitzrayim, and they had to die, and we didn't want the Mitzrayim seeing that they died, therefore they died during Makas Choshech. So it always bothered me, when Makas Choshech was over, and they went on Central Avenue, there was no triple parked cars, they noticed people died, right? Yeah. Like I'm saying, someone had to give, right? The Mitzrayim must have realized at some point. Okay, it's a kasha. But they didn't want to see them actively die. But Rashi says something very strong about these group of people. Rashi calls them Rishoim. Rishon. Now, we know one of the worst things you can call another Jew is a Russian. The other worst comment you can tell the guy is he doesn't know how to learn. That's the two biggest insults you can tell someone. You don't know how to learn, you're an Amoritz, and you're a Russian. Those are like the two big insults in the Jewish world. So what's such a strong term? Rishayim. They didn't want to leave Mitzrayim, they were Rishayim. Rashi says in this week's parasha, V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael, only 1/5 of the Jews left Mitzrayim. It's an amazing concept. There were approximately somewhere between 2 and 3 million Jews in Mitzrayim, and only 600,000 left. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, it was a Holocaust. Makas Choshech was a Holocaust. Rabbi Yaakov writes this in the Sefer. He says, we see from here that right before major geulas, we have Holocausts. Rabbi Yaakov writes that in last week's parasha. Very comforting. He says that Mamash was a Holocaust. He says, you have to remember, Yetzias Mitzrayim, we read in this week's parasha, it was mixed emotions. Everyone lost a family member. It's almost impossible that there was a family intact by the time they got to Kriyas Yom Sof. 4/5 died. So you're talking about people were, just imagine their emotional status. They were dealing with lost family members, dealing with changing, lifestyle, a lot going on. I'm sure therapists would have a great time with these types of things today, how to understand what was running through their mind. But 4/5 of Jewish people did not leave Mitzrayim. But I wonder why they called Rishon. What's a strong terminology to be Rishon? So I found there's another Rashi in Chumash. We spoke about this in the past, in Parshas Lech Lecha. where the Roya Avram and the Roya Loit are having a dispute whether or not you have to muzzle the animals. Avram Avinu says you have to muzzle. Roya Loit say no, they don't have to muzzle. Why? Because the land belongs to Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu has no Yerushim, he had no children yet. Loit is next in line, so Loit said, it's my property. And Avram Avinu said, no, it's not your property yet because I didn't get the land yet. And Rashi says over there, the Roya Loit were Rishoim. Same kasha. We spend all day long fighting, disputing, and learning. That's the beauty of Torah. You say Mutter, I say Asa. You say Pater, I say Chayiv. So this was a Machlokes in Choshen Mishpat between the Raya Avram and the Raya Loit. How does Yerusha work? That makes one side a Russia. Whenever there's a two Machlokes in the Gemara and the other side is a Russia. So Yaakov Kamenetsky explains in last week's Parsha. He says, why did these Jews not want to leave Mitzrayim? Why did 4/5 of the Jewish people say, I want to stay in Mitzrayim? Said Yaakov, they had a Frum Cheshbon. They said to themselves, we're supposed to be here for 430 years, 410, whatever years you want to say. We're leaving too early. Moshe got it wrong. Moshe's wrong. We know better than Moshe. Said Rabbi Yaakov, when a person has cheshbainus like that, from a cheshbainus, that makes you a Russian. You can think whatever you want. Right? People always tell me, I went to the rabbi, but the rabbi's still wrong. That's where it ends. Assuming the rabbi knows what he's talking about. That's a different question. But if whoever you take it to, and that authority knows what he's talking about, then the game is over. You can think what you want, and you might want to be right, but once the Shiloh was presented and you were told you're wrong, so now you're wrong. And if you continue to think you're right, then you're a Russia. And Yaakov asks, the 1/5 who survived were no great tzaddikim. What happened in this week's parasha? The Malachim said, drown the Jews also. They also deserve to die. The answer is yes, they had their flaws and they did Avodah Zarah, but at least they understood that we have a certain rules. The rabbi says this and the Gadol Hador Paskens this way, we move on. If you're not ready to accept authoritative halacha, then you can't come part of Klai Yisrael. You can't join Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is all based on this premise. You have a Psak, Shulchan Aruch, right? I don't like the Shulchan Aruch. You do not like the Shulchan Aruch. I don't like the Ramah, so I'm not going to follow. It doesn't work like that. That's the same thing with the Roya Avram and the Roya Loit. The Roya Avram and the Roya Loit, once Avram Avinu Paskin, you can think whatever you want. But once you bring the Shiloh to a Psak Din and the Psak says you're wrong, then you're wrong. Mizahu. That's at the end of the conversation. And if you still think you're right, and you're still going to act, again, you can think what you want. But if you can still act upon that, then you're Taka Dim de Rasha. Because you don't understand how things work. That's how Rabbi Yaakov explains the two Rashas. I thought perhaps there's another message over here. If you think about it, every year we come to this expression, I ask myself, which group would I be part of? The 1/5 or the 4/5? And I think, honestly, we'd probably find ourselves into the 4/5 versus the 1/5. Because think about it from the side of the Jews. You spent your entire life being oppressed by these people and working for them. And now all of a sudden the work stops and you're watching their entire life be turned upside down. It's great. Get me a comfortable chair and a bowl of popcorn. I'm good to go. I'll watch this a whole day. Wow, this is great. Dumps right there all day long. I'll watch this. This is great. Watching these people who cause so much oppression, I would love to watch it. And why should I want to leave? Leave where? This is the only world I know. I only know Egypt. I only know Egyptian culture. The Medrash says they were engulfed in Avodah Zarah. Why should I want to leave? It's perfect here. Till now, I was being oppressed. I'm not oppressed. Not only am I not being oppressed, my oppressors are suffering. This is great. I don't know. I probably would have been part of the 4/5. This sounds like a nice setup. So where was their rishis? Their rishis is they didn't see the big picture. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a big picture for us. The big picture wasn't watching the Mitzrayim suffer in Mitzrayim. The big picture was getting out of this Avodah Zarah lane country and move on to something bigger. Eretz Yisrael, Kabbalah Soteira. Kadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us if we don't see a big picture in this world, we're going to be in big trouble. If we don't see that this is not it, right? We came to a point in time where many of us maxed out, like, America, this is it. This is it. We're great. We're good right here. You know, if Mashiach comes right now, we'd ask him, please wait till at least after the Super Bowl. I got a lot of money riding on it. Monday morning when I got to go back to work, great time for Mashiach to come. Tonight, not so good. Right? We're all really, I think we'd all find ourselves in the side of the 4/5. We get very complacent. And we think this is it. We maxed out and how great it's going to be. Baruch Hashem, we're not oppressed and they're not bothering us and Trump may win the election, if that's good or bad, depends which side you're on, right? It's not so bad. We get to learn Torah, they get to, this is it. The answer, that's very short vision. That's very small vision. We know this is not what it's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't promise us that one day we'll get to live in America comfortably. That wasn't what it was about. It was about going to Eretz Yisrael. Same thing with the Roya Loit. The Roya Loit had such small vision. Oh, right now Yitzchak has, Avraham Avinu has no children. But it's not, it's early in the game. There's still a future, there's still more generations, relax. We all in life have to see there's a bigger vision, because Baruch has a much bigger plan than we have. And it's true on a communal level, and it's true on a personal level. When things are bad, and it looks very depressing, it's because you have to realize there's another step. This is not, I'm not going to end here, there's another phase. And next week we'll get better, and next year we'll improve, and hopefully we'll get better sooner. So that's the idea. I think that's why a person becomes a Rosh Man. He doesn't believe that Baruch has a massive plan. Baruch has a big plan for all of us. as a klal and as yichidim, if we can't realize that plan, then we're talking b'sham. So I think it's every year when I come to this week's parasha, it always, you know, puts us in the right path. We have to remember what's our goal. Our goal is mitzabul yishu. We have a chiv to ask to anticipate Mashiach's arrival. Rabbi Salvezhik always pointed out the Gemara says in Shabbos they ask us a bunch of kashas, and one of the kashas they ask us, were you mitzabul yishu? Now, says Rabbi Salvation, they don't ask you that, will you mitzabli shul once a year, or you mitzabli shul once in a lifetime. You have to be mitzabli shul every day. And I always add, you can lie to a lot of people. You can't lie to God. Like when Acha Me'ev asked me, you up there, lying is really not going to work. So yeah, Kosh Baruch Hu, every day I was mitzabli shul. And Hashem rolls the finger, they'd be like, you're so full of it. It's not going to work. Now, in this world, we can fake it all we want. That's fine. You know, we can fool our boss, fool our spouses, whatever else we're fooling. You can't fool Hashem. Hashem says, I want you to anticipate my Mashiach's arrival. And we're not, because we're very comfortable. So I think every year when we read Parshas Bo, and again, Parshas B'Shalach also, because the opening pasuk says, the Chamushim, only one-fifth left Mitzrayim. It's something that we should think about and ask ourselves, would we be part of the one-fifth, or would we be more likely part of the four-fifths? Okay, we're holding over here in the sugya of Hidr Mitzvah. So let's just see the Gemara one more time, and we'll get back to what we left off with last week. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to add, the learning should be the Refuah Shalema for Peril Yenta Bas Brenda. Okay, so holding over here, let's just see this Gemara one more time. We saw this Gemara quite a few times, but we'll add one more Knesh to the Gemara and really deal with it between the next week. So again, the Gemara, let's remind ourselves one more time. We had a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the Braisa says that you go back for the strands that are not Ma'akiv the Mila. You go back as long as you didn't put down the knife. Once you put down the knife, you don't go back. As long as you didn't put down the knife, you go back. But once you put down the knife, you don't go back for the tzitzin that are not ma'akiv the meal. So the Gemara asks, who's the Tan of the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, it's Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishai b'Rechem b'Breiki. The Tan, because we learned in a Braisa, Arba Osir Shecholitz b'Shabbos. If Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so Mavshit as Pesach Arachosis. You have to de-skin the animal to get to the innards to take them out. That stuff was taken out and makariv on Shabbos. But the rest of the animal, you don't have to be Mavshit. So you take, you skin, take out, and then you stop. That was Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishai b'Rechem. Chum, I'm mafshit in askula. Chum say, no, you mafshit the whole animal. So the Gemara thinks that Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishai b'Rechem holds that once you stopped skinning, you can't start again. That's like our Gemara. Once you put down the knife, you can't start again. Now, the Gemara says, Mimai, what's the raya? Over there, the reason why Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishai b'Rechem holds you don't start again because there's no hidden mitzvah. It doesn't make the mitzvah any nicer when you skin the animal. But over here, there's an element of zekeli vanveu. Hachanami here also. The Tanya, because we learned in the Brisa, this is what we need. Zekeli vanveu. This week's parsha. And Yonah Diyema. We stay on the Gemara long enough. Eventually, the Pesukim, the Torah will catch up to us, right? Zekeli vanveu. Hisnoye lefon of mitzvahs. Make mitzvahs beautiful. What are the examples? I say lefon of sukkah no, lulav no, shofar no, tzitzis no. Sefer Torah no. If you look in the Yerushalmi and Peah has tefillin no. That's your Gerson Yerushalmi, tefillin no. He says tefillah, but it means tefillin. I double checked the Yerushalmi. Torah no, you have to write a nice Sefer Torah. The Kosev Bo Lushma, it has to be written Lushma. Bidiyoy no, you have to use nice ink for the Sefer Torah. Bikulmus no, with a nice pen. Balbal or Uman, you have to use a good cipher, an expert cipher. Bikurchay Bishiroim no, and wrap it with nice silk strings. Supposed to wrap the Sefer Torah nice. So hopefully we'll see later what Hidr Mitzvah is that. The Sefer Torah is written, it's done. You're putting it in there in Kodesh. So it's Hidr Mitzvah is to wrap it nicely. That's Hidr Mitzvah after the Mitzvah. Didn't we learn from the Brisker dynasty, from the Beis Halevi, that there's no Hidr Mitzvah after the Mitzvah's over? Mitzvah's finished. You made the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah, Echlan Sefer Torah is over. Everyone goes home. Now you wrap the Sefer Torah with nice shiroyim, nice silk cloth. What Hidr Mitzvah is that? So we'll see that Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer has this kasha, and we'll see Biskarov himself addresses this question. Abba Shaul says, no, Anveyu means, have a doimeloi. You should be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anveyu doesn't mean make mitzvahs beautiful. The Anveyu is the two words of have a doimeloi. Mahu chan v'rachum, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compassionate. Av ato hayu chan v'rachum. So the questions which we'll get to Belinda at the end of this year, I hope, is Abba Shaul arguing on the premise of Hidr Mitzvah? Is this the machloikis tanoim if there's a concept called Hidr Mitzvah? Tanakama says that Keil Vanveo teaches me Hidr Mitzvah. Abba Shaul says, no, Vanveo teaches me be like a Kodesh Baruch. Or no. Maybe even Abba Shaul agrees there's a concept called Hidr Mitzvah. He just doesn't learn it from the pasuk of Zer Keil Vanveo. We'll see, that's a big shiloh even in the Rishayim. So we left off last week. Or he learned it from somewhere else. Right. And Echarami. Now the difference is, you know, we'll see in the Rishonim, some of the Rishonim record Hidamit, when some of the Rishonim record the din of Ata, Mahu Rachom, Afatacha Rachom. Problem is, some Rishonim do. Okay, we'll get to Blineder, we'll see the Shittas Rambam about it. We left off last week in a Shver Rashi in Baba Kama. Rashi in Baba Kama says, number two, She'imotze Beis Sifrei Torah Slikners, if you have two Sifrei Torah to purchase, and one is better than the next. We mentioned last week that this is Rashi Lishitosai, because if the mitzvah is Ksiva Sefer Torah, and you come into the Sefer and there's two Sefer Torah already written, what mitzvah do you have? It's too late. So Teretz Yisrael says the Birkas Avraham. If I'm Maryland, this is Rashi Lishitosai, because Rashi in Menachos holds that the mitzvah is not just to write a Sefer Torah, the mitzvah is to purchase a Sefer Torah. So here I'm going to purchase a Sefer Torah. I have two Sefer Torah available, so I should buy the nicer one. Yosef Shlush Adam, I add a third of my money. Titanyo, so what is Rashi saying over here? That what's the mikar for Hidr Mitzvah? Where does it say in the Torah that I have to do Hidr Mitzvah? It's like Rashi, it's derived from the pasuk of Zeh Keli Vanveu. Now listen to the examples that Rashi gives in Maseches Baba Kam. Hisnoi lufan of mitzvah, asay l'chosef et Torah no, lulav no, talis no. This is the questionable one. Talis no. Why do you need to have a nice talis? The mitzvah is the tzitzis. The talis merely is what holds the tzitzis, but the ikker mitzvah is the tzitzis. So frekted dvar avram, frekted other acharonim. It's like saying you have to buy a nice house so you can put up a mezuzah. The mezuzah is the mitzvah. The house is just the hechatimsa to get to the mitzvah. So frekted dvar avram. How do you understand the tzitzis? What? Maybe the same thing. Listen, right. Right, wherever the mezuzah is going to go, you have to have a nice door where to put the mezuzah. So if that was the cash that we left off last week. So we mentioned last week that the consensus of many of the G'day L'Achrayim is you're going to have to say some lomdas, that there's something fundamentally different between the mitzvah of tzitzis and the mitzvah of mezuzah. Even though, again, tzitzis go on the beged, mezuzah goes on the door, but there's going to be a difference. So what exactly is that difference? So if you look at number three, Rav Moshe has a tshuva actually about this, an Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe is bothered with the kasha. Rav Moshe says, if you read Rashi Kipshutai, talis no, means everyone's got to wear fancy clothing. People can't afford it. People can't afford fancy clothing. How could Rashi hold that everyone else hid the mitzvah has to go around wearing nice clothing? So Rashi says, no. El HaKavona says, Rav Moshe number three, left corner, El HaKavona hu, Bahatalis Shaloyf Shemishas Atzfilah. Says Rav Moshe, this is referring to what we call the talis that we wear during davening. Doesn't mean the four-cornered beggar that we buy in the swarm store has to be nice. That doesn't have to be hidden mitzvah according to Rashi. So what does it have to be hidden mitzvah? So like Rashi, the beged that we wear for davening. He says in second both, what?
That's subjective. I mean, are there halachas of what makes it nice?
Yeah, it's complicated. Like for Marshall, by Esri, we know there's rules of what makes something hidden. So here, it sounds like the price. That's how Rashi sets it up. Whatever goes in the price. Now, who defines what's nicer? It's always complicated, you know. What am I looking at? Who knows what they're looking at? So Rav Moshe writes, V'chem b'zmaneinu shaloif shen beged shal dal kamfis rak l'kima mitzvah. Says Rav Moshe, our talis katan and our talis gadol should be nicer. Av shehu zerak minig ba'alma, v'loi mitzvah af midrabanan. The whole tzitzis that we do today is not really obligatory. We go out of our way to buy a beged of dal kamfis to put tzitzis on.
We make it obligatory.
We make it, but technically we don't have to. Says Rav Moshe, Elohu kiven al kloponim hu dover ha'oisi l'chvoit shemayim, yesh olav mitzvah shiyaseh behidro mikra dan veil. Says Rav Moshe, since we go out of our way to put on a beged to fulfill a mitzvah, right? We don't go out of our way to buy a house. We buy a house because we need somewhere to live. So we buy a house. But Dr. Moshe, when you go out and buy a pair of tzitzis in the swarm store, what you're really doing is you're going out of your way because you don't need to do it. We don't wear, similar to what we saw from Tzvi Freimer last week, we don't normally wear a beged of dal kamfis. That's not what we wear. We normally wear because they don't have dal kamfis. So when I go out of my way to the swarm store to buy a beged that has dal kamfis, says Rav Moshe, even though what I'm doing is technically not a mitzvah, but because I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, that therefore makes it now also a chelik of the mitzvah.
Is the mitzvah to put tzitzis on the beged, or is the mitzvah to wear a beged, if you're wearing a beged, to have tzitzis on them?
No, the rule
so
is...
there a difference between buying a beged that already has them on?
Right.
So there's machlokes in the Gemara to wear that, right? But so if you buy a beged that's arba kamfas,
right,
do you have a chiyuv to put them on if you're not going to wear it?
So there's machlokes in the Gemara. Is chayva tzitzis chayvas gavro, or is it chayvas cheftza? Gemara Yishai, let's say I have a pair of tzitzis, a four-quarter beged, I don't put it on. It sits in my closet. So there's one sheet in the Gemara Menachos, you still have to put tzitzis on it. We don't paskin like that. We paskin, it's only if you actually wear it. So again, technically, if I have a three-cornered beged, I don't have to put on tzitzis. If I decide to put on a four-cornered beged, I must wear tzitzis. So when I put on the tzitzis on the beged, then I fulfill the mitzvah.
When I put the tzitzis on...
When I wear the beged with four corners, then I fulfill the mitzvah.
But I'm wearing the beged today, it's still a mitzvah of the Rabbanan.
You know, Ramesh is not even a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's nothing. It's a nice thing. Now, we go out of our way to do the mitzvah.
No, but you can make it a mitzvah
with
the rice.
Yeah,
or the
Both. So tzitzis, no, the way the Gemara says it, it's the strings. The way Rashi says it, it's the beged. It's the whole shebeg. So the kasha that the achrayim happens, but that's not the mitzvah. Says Ramesh, you're right, that's not the mitzvah. But says Ramesh, since that we go out of our way to do it, Elohu kivan nakaponim hudover ha'oisa l'chvoit shemayim, since we're doing it for the sake of Hashem, yesh olav mitzvah shiyaseh behidah mikra danveu. It's a very big chiddush. Ramesh is saying that you can plug in a minhag into the pasuk. When the Torah says do mitzvahs nicely, what does the Torah mean? Presumably my mitzvahs, i.e. whatever I wrote in the Torah. Says Ramesh, no. Vanveh can go on those things that are not even mitzvah Hashem, because buying a dalad kanfes is not a mitzvah. So Ramesh, it's a very big chiddush what he's saying. He's saying that when the Torah wrote make mitzvahs beautiful, it doesn't just mean what I wrote in the Torah as a mitzvah. It's anything that you're doing for my sake. Anything that you're doing b'chvoid shemayim, you should do it nicely.
But what's the rabbanim would have...
So if it would be a mitzvah d'rabbanan, you could say aslai sasra, it would be included. Or back to the old chakira, if it's part and parcel of the mitzvah, so then it would work.
But we're turning into a daraisa.
Yeah, so right. The minhag is to buy the beged.
Right,
but now we're with daraisa status because we have a four cornered beged.
Right. But when you go and
so
buy
the daraisa status, I have to make Zechel Ivan.
But it doesn't answer the talis still. The talis still doesn't have to be nice. The talis is still not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is still the tzitzis. So Ramosh is saying that when I go out and buy and I purchase, when Rashi and Baba Kama said talis noah, he doesn't mean back in the times of the Gemara when everyone used to wear four cornered beged. It means if you're going to go out of your way and buy a beged to be mekayim the mitzvah to do it, then you should have to buy a nice talis. That's how Rav Moshe learned Rashi. Okay, that's Rav Moshe's pshat. If you look at number four, in Halicha Shloima, we usually don't quote Halicha Shloima in Sunday morning shiur, usually more for a Tuesday night shiur, Rav Shlomo Zalman was bothered with the same kasha. V'nishal pam rabbeinu, they asked once Rav Shlomo Zalman, al gir sezu, hare en kim ha-mitzvah betalos, al b'chutei atzitis, this Rashi in Baba Kama. How could Rashi say you have to have nice talis? That's not what the Gemara says. U'may tami yesh b'zeh m'sham hidda mitzvah. V'heshiv, and he answered, the shani tzitis, midin shekava ba mezuzah, dahoch I did tlias atzitis mekayimim me'atim mitzvah me'etzim levishas habeget. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, there's a difference between putting a mezuzah up on your house and putting tzitzis on your beged. Because again, when you put a mezuzah up on your house, the house doesn't change. There's no din in the house. The house is just a makom where you put up a mezuzah. Mashenki zokt Reb Shlomo Zalman, but the beged where the tzitzis is going to be put into changes to become a chefetz shel mitzvah. How do I know? Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, it's a gavalda garaya. What's his raya? Koloshen habracha. Lisateif b'tzitzis. It means to be wrapped in tzitzis. Or lisateif. That's going on the beged. You're doing atifa with the beged. Zokt Reb Shlomo Zalman, what do you see from the nusach habracha that we make every morning? You see that there's some connection between the actual atifa, the wrapping of the beged, and the tzitzis. Do ituf hu bebigdei v'loi b'chutei tzitzis. Right, so we don't make ituf on the talis katan. Why not? That's a discussion maybe for a different time. Why you don't? I know some people who do. Some people do. Most people don't.
But if you're not married, you'd say ha mitzvah.
Right. You don't make an atif. The question is, why you don't make an atif even on a talis katan? That's a question. But yeah, he's proving that chelik of the mitzvah is clearly the beged. Because if not, why would the bracha represent the beged? If the bracha, meaning you don't make a bracha, asher k'dushah mitzvahnu al kviyas mezuzah b'soy chabayis. Because the b'soy chabayis is irrelevant. The fact that the Nusach HaBracha included the Hisateif, which is always done with the Beged, it's a raya that's a chelik of the actual Maisa HaMitzvah. If you look at number five, well, three more pshatim and then we'll move on to something more complicated, I think. They quote a pshat over here from Rav Avram Gurvitz. It says like this, number five. Maisa, we find something interesting about the Mitzvah of Tzitzis and Talis that you don't find by other halachas. He writes, when you wrap yourself in your tzitzis, you're supposed to make the bracha standing. Why? The wrapping of the tzitzis, the atifa, it should also be done standing. Not just the bracha. We learn from the Omer, the mulvar hamitzah hamishyemish al tzitzis shem mikayim b'mashal avish tzitzis atzmam yesh al ma'isa halavisha din amida. He says there's a din, you have to stand when you put on the tzitzis. Why? The whole beged is irrelevant. It's all about holding the tzitzis. It's all about having it on my beged. How I get the beged on me should make a difference. So he wants to say umitzvazu shal ma'isa halavisha afina mikra. So he wants to tell you, if you assume that the how you put on the beged makes a difference, and the way to put on the beged makes a difference, that's also supposed to be indicative that putting on the beged and the beged itself is the chelik of the mitzvah. Right, there's no din about how you put up the mezuzah with regard to the house. He writes, "Now we can answer the Biskarov's kasha."
Din in the talis or din in
birchas
mitzvah?
No, he's saying it's not because you don't find it by other mitzvahs that you have to make that tifa ba'amida. The bracha on the tzitzis you have to make. He says the tifa itself has to be done by midah. Forget the bracha. That tifa has to be done by midah. He points out.
If you could do over
the last yes, sorry. Yeah, you might have a technical problem. Right, you'll have a technical problem with last yes. But he says part of the drasha was that even the ativa should be done that way. So he said, "Lefize yesh liyashiv kushes agriz." The nihi de bechol mitzvah tzitzis shemikayim bechol eis ein atalas mechavdish mitzvah. Yes. Normally, when I walk around and I ask myself, "What am I doing right now?" Right now, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis. V'loy shayich b'hidin, and there's no hidin on my tal on my beged. Avo mitzvah talos godol. At least by the talos godol shemikayim b'gam b'hatalas a mitzvah shel ituf. When I put on my talis godol, I do an atifa, I do a wrapping. Then shapishayach then hidda b'mitzvah gam b'talis. So according to him, it's not like Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said the hidda would be both on your talis katan and on your talis godol. He wants to say, according to this, it would only be on your talis godol. You do an ituf, and that ituf has to be done b'amida. So when I make that, that's a chelik of the mitzvah. So then I have to do a hidda mitzvah on that as well.
So when tzitzis to tear off a beged, or they're not on the beged yet.
That's a very good.
Mezuzah has its own.
Very good. That's one of the rayas. I didn't put it down. One of the rayas they bring is that the beged itself has kedusha. If you're Simon Chof and Shulchan Aruch talks about what happens when the beged gets worn out, the beged, who cares about the beged? It's like when the house gets ruined, you have to worry about the house. Teretz is, you see from Shulchan Aruch that there's an actual chashiv is given to the beged of tzitz, it becomes a chef to shomitzah.
What about the tzitz themselves?
The tzitz also have certain kedusha.
They're off the beged.
They have less kedusha once they're off the beged. But the fact that each of them have independent kedusha is a right that they're both chefs.
They're also
mitzvah.
Dependent on each other.
Somewhat.
Full kedusha. Correct. Unlike a mezuzah.
Correct. Correct. Has independent kedusha on its own.
It doesn't.
That's because it's kisvei
kodesh.
Well, that's also because it's written on cloth and it's written with other things. But I mean, the house has no kedusha. That's the right.
The beged may have tashmisha kedusha, but the house.
The house has nothing. Right. That's the right. That's a shtaka right. So there's one last right we'll bring from a kli yoker in Parshas Noach. And this is actually something we spoke about in the Halacha Sheh past Tuesday. There's a Rashi Chumash in Parshas Noach, where Rashi tells us the story of Noach being drunk, and his children covering him. We know Shem covered him, and because he covered him, he was zoicha to tzitzis. So Rashi says, it doesn't say that both brothers grabbed the clothing to cover their father. Instead, what Shem covered, and Yefes followed. We mentioned many times about salvation, because it's a beautiful idea over here. What was the difference between Shem and Yefes? One was etiquette, one was ethics. We mentioned this many times in the past, that Shem had ethics. When you have ethics, you know what's right and wrong. Yefes didn't have ethics. He didn't know what was right or wrong. He wanted to see what his brother does. And if my brother does it, then I know what's right and I know what's wrong. That's the difference between us and the Goyim. We have core values that don't change. The Goyim, the value changes depending on who they're trying to get to vote for them. Their shittas change back and forth. Our shittas don't change. It's defined by the Torah. It doesn't move anywhere. That's the difference between Shem and Yefes. Okay, so Rashi says over here, what's the vart? Shem got tzitzis. Shenis ambe me mitzvah yoysim me yefes. Lekach zochu bonov. Letalis shel tzitzis. His children got talis shel tzitzis. What does that mean, talis shel tzitzis? The yefes zochu lekvura. And Yefes gets kvura. Rabbi Salvechik explained. What's kvura? Why do you bury someone? It's just proper. It's dignity. It's not because it's anything. It's just because it's the right thing to do. So that's why Yefes got that, and we got that. Frak the Kliyokor, the Gemara in Saita, which we quoted in the Tuesday night chair, says that Avraham Avinu told Avimelech that I'm not going to touch a michut the atzruch now. I'm not going to touch from a chut, which means a string, until the shoe strands. And we mentioned it, Kveger and Daf and Simendala brings a makar, and that's why when we tie our shoes in the morning, we always tie with our left shoe first, because it says sruch now. And Sruch Nal means shoelaces. And the Gemara says in Saita, because of the Sruch Nal, we got the tefillin. So this is a whole shaila. What happens if you don't, we mentioned this in the Tuesday night, Shekel Chazar for everyone. If you don't wear laces, let's say you wear Velcro ties. Do you also have to go left over right? Or you say, no, Sruch Nal means a shoelace. It's not a shoelace. It's a Velcro. It's a different mitzvah.
So
left hand, women, that's all last night. It's all posted now. You can listen online. We did the shaila.
So where's the left?
So the Gemara says that Sruch Nal means shoelaces. So the Gemara says in Saita that Bishchus that Avraham Avinu said that, he got two mitzvahs. Chut, he got tzitzis, because strands are tzitzis, and Sruch Nal, he got tefillin. So Kvega writes that tefillin is kshira. You tie tefillin, and you see that Sruch Nal is shoelaces. So whenever you tie things, just like you tie your tefillin on the left, you're supposed to tie your shoelaces with your left. So we mentioned in the shir.
If you're a lefty.
So that's a shayla. You got to listen to the 48-minute shir that we had on Tuesday night. What happens if you're a lady?
7 o'clock.
I'd also be there at 7 o'clock. But we mentioned the shayla. What happens if you wear Velcro? So we mentioned that Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt and Rabbi Belsky both passed, and the Velcro doesn't count because it's not Sruch Nal. It's mamish not Sruch Nal. Sruch Nal means a shoelace. It's not a shoelace. Shoelace is kibshutai. Mentioned the others disagree, but that was a shayla. So Frek, the Kli Yokar, and Pashas Nayach, we have a stira. Rashi says, why did they merit to get the mitzvah of tzitzis? Because of shame. And here we're saying that we got married the mitzvah of tzitzis because Avraham Avinu said, chut v'atzruch now. Says the Kliyok, no, there's two separate mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of tzitzis, the chut, then there's the mitzvah of the talus. So what do you mean? But if the talus is not a mitzvah, then how do you answer the kasha? We're trying to answer that there's two separate memory chazal. One memory chazal said that we got the mitzvah of tzitzis because Avraham Avinu said the word chut. Chut means a string. The other Gemara in Saita says the Rashi says in Chumash we got the mitzvah of tzitzis because shame covered his father. So which one is it? The Teretz? They're both mitzvahs. The beged which shame covered is one mitzvah, and the chut, the atzruch, which is the tzitzis, we got b'schos Avraham Avinu. So you see from this kliyaka, you see it's really Mishnah Master's kash. You see that it's taka two separate mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of the chutim and the mitzvah of the beged itself.
Why did the Gemara mention talus
not? It's still interesting that the Gemara mentioned talus not. The final pshat, and this is probably the best pshat, printing mistake in Rashi. If you look over number 8, the Sefer Divrei Nechemya. Divrei Nechemya lived in the times of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, 1700s. He writes, "Av pi shloi huskul loy b'shabbes ki im tzitzis." You got to read from bottom down. Tzitzis noa ubefrat number 8. Ubefrat babakam akasat talus noa tzitzis noa ubevadei talus noa tos soifrim hu. He thinks it's posh that is a print mistake in Rashi. When Rashi said Rashi by us and babakam it says talus noa printing mistake.
It's hard to say that in light of Rashi on the Chumash where.
It's just interesting because this comment is quoted by the Gemara, it's quoted by Olush, and no one else says talus. Rashi is the only one who says it. It's a little strange. But Rashi says it. So he, this Sefer, this Divrei Nechemya quotes, the whole thing is a printing mistake. And what's his motivation? Because there's no svara to say that talus no, it should be hid the mitzvah. We just said like 5 pshatim, but okay, he thought there's no good pshatim to how you justify talus no being hid the mitzvah. Therefore, conclusion is, printing mistake. Okay, when in doubt, you pull the printing mistake card, and therefore Rashi's not shvi. Okay, this was all last week's shir that we didn't finish up. Let's move on to what we got to cover this week's shir. Okay, now, we're trying to understand what makes something a requirement for hider mitzvah. So the Gemara said, what are the examples? So we had sukkah no, lulav no, shofar no, tzitzis no. Writes the Ramban Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Lulav. Says the Ramban, if you're going to buy a lulav from a goy, so the Ramban writes, yiktetzu akum yiknim hem. Let the goy cut it, and then you'll buy from him, you'll have shinui. That's the Gemara in the beginning of the third parak of sukkah. Ve'ein chiluk abazeh bein be'eretz Yisrael loichotz laretz. Fine. What happens if the guy decides to be ma'agid it all together? You know, we have to have the lulav with the adasim and the aravas. We wrap it all together, we bind it together, we make an aguda. So says the Ramah, let's say the guy, instead of buying everything separate from the guy, he wrapped it all up for you, saved you time and trouble. He knows the adasim go on this side, the aravas go on this side, how high they should be. He knows more than us. And he wraps it all beautifully and he gives it to you. Says the Ramah, or akum, he says, lulav sha'agdo akum va'aso kosher. What does kosher sound like? B'di'evit. Oh, it's kosher. Why? K'moy sukkas akum. Just like if the guy makes the sukkah. So frek the Magen Avraham, why is it b'di'evit? Why do I need the guy to do the aguda? Why do we even do an aguda in the first place? Hider mitzvah. So the guy can't do hider mitzvah? If hider mitzvah is not ma'akif. So the Ramah says that if the guy ties the aguda around my lulav, it's only kosher b'di'evit. But the chatchil it shouldn't be. Why? Because of hider mitzvah. Frek the Magen Avraham. Mashma, the lechatchila lo yagden akum. That means lechatchila the guy, you should not tie it. Kamoshu kasafti b'sim yodal. Like we have sim yodal, gabi noshim. Why? Because it's based on a Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos and Gittin. Rabbeinu Tam says anyone that's not in the mitzvah shouldn't do the mitzvah. That's Rabbeinu Tam's whole discussion. If a lady is allowed to make tzitzis, she's allowed to make tefillin. That's the kasha we're going to get to. Well, this is not the mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah shaking the lulav. This is the hider mitzvah. This is extra credit. You're going to tell me that I can't have someone else do the extra credit part of the mitzvah?
What's the hider? Why is it a hider?
The Gemara says when you wrap them all together in one, it makes it nice.
As opposed to what?
Having everything separate.
Well, Having them separate.
No. Holding just not bound together. Holding my hand together.
Why would be included if someone has to have the chiyuv? It would be, in my mind.
By hider or by regular mitzvah?
By hider.
Oh, that's what we're going to get to, right? That's the kasha. Well, if you hold that hider is a chelik of the mitzvah, so that it's more moving.
Even not. It has shaykhus to the mitzvah. If you're not in the mitzvah, I mean, logically,
yeah.
If you're not in the mitzvah, regardless, it is somewhat connected to the
hider is a separate din. But a hider is a separate mitzvah. Right. I mean, having it done. Right. Oh, so let's see. So this is the whole shaila about whether or not a lady is allowed to build a sukkah. We mentioned this many times. If your wife is a go-getter, she doesn't trust you. She says, I'll build a sukkah this year. Okay, so that's a shayla. According to Rabbeinu Tam, she can't build a sukkah. Same thing with the egg. That's what the Ramah's talking about. We'll see that Margaret Ramah says women also. Let's say your wife wants to wrap your lulav for you. She's such a good wife. She wraps the lulav for you. So you have the same problem according to Rabbeinu Tam because she's not mechuyev in lulav. Says the Margaret Avram. The kasav agos maiminis perik alf mechasitis b'shem Rabbeinu Tam. Now the truth is we pashas don't paskin like this Rabbeinu Tam. We're choishes for Rabbeinu Tam. We don't really paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. That's why, for example, if let's say you have goyim put up your sukkah, mikra adin, it's really fine. The bigger problem that you have when the goy puts up your sukkah is if he puts up your schach, he has to be doing it l'shem tzil. This we spoke about many times. If the guy can infuse into the sukkah the shame tzel, you could tell him, you got to put it up the shame tzel. The question is, let's say you don't tell him anything. So what's stam das? So that's a machalikis achreinim to Rabbi Yashiv. Another g'day achreinim, what happens if you put up the sukkah stam das?
He can't be doing it. He's not a Torah shlichus. He can't be your shliach, so he can't be doing it with
your No, he could, but that's another shayla. If I inject the shame tzel to his maisef, that works. That's a machalikis in the achreinim as well. But let's say you don't do that. Let's say the guy just puts it up. He just puts it up. What's he thinking? He's thinking nothing. He's thinking, give me money. So I go.
The guy puts up the sukkah, you yourself complete the schach.
That's fine. The whole shame tzel is only on the schach. Lechatchil is a fine. I don't know. Lechatchil, it's bet. Again, if you choishes for Rabbeinu Tam, but pashas we're not choishes for Rabbeinu Tam. It's really fine. So again, this we spoke about. But again, we saw not. The Gemara says sukkah. No, you got to build a nice sukkah. So we mentioned many times from the Netziv.
You get a mitzvah for sitting in a nicer sukkah. Not necessarily for building sukkah, no mitzvah.
That's a question. The Netziv has this idea that anytime the Torah writes the mitzvah, even though it doesn't say to do it, that makes it now a mitzvah also. It says in the Torah you're supposed to build a sukkah. We spoke about this, we must have spoken about it. I think we spoke about this before. Whether a binyan sukkah is a heksher mitzvah or is it a mitzvah itself. Numerous nafkaminos, then one nafkamino is there a din that I should build my own sukkah? Mitzvah
is
mitzvah.
You'll
make a bracha.
Right.
Is sitting in a sukkah that's a nicer sukkah.
So as we mentioned last week, does that make this a nicer sukkah is a different mitzvah? It makes my yeshiva sukkah differently?
How else you have a
hindrance? No, I'm saying if you have a nicer sukkah, the sukkah is a nicer sukkah. A chefza of the mitzvah. A mitzvah is... It's complicated because the mitzvah has two parts to it. There's the build end. Right, that's what we spoke about. We definitely dealt with this one, the sukkahs. And maybe even this year, I don't know.
Take Lula, or take Esrog.
Right.
Same question.
And what?
So if I pay another $50, that's the hit or mitzvah.
Right.
Is that the mitzvah? Or is when I make the bracha on that Esrog,
So the L'chaira, that might be totally in the Chakira, which we spoke about last time, where Reb Chaim broke it down to another level, right. Is every mitzvah, the mitzvah and hiddur mitzvah separate, or hiddur mitzvah is part of the mitzvah. So when I do the mitzvah, I'm doing the mitzvah nicer.
Right.
Or I'm doing the same baseline mitzvah, but I get a check for doing the din called hiddur mitzvah.
Well, they said that for Mila, though.
We said that by Mila. Reb Chaim said Mila is for sure one part and parcel, why the other ones could be split. We're going to come back to that today.
Either way, whether it's one better mitzvah or two mitzvahs, it's only when you pick up the lulav that you get the mitzvah.
Right. Unless you could argue that when I go out and buy a nice lulav, that's already the mitzvah. The mitzvah is going out and buying a nice lulav.
So that's the question with the building of the sukkah.
Right. That's right.
Well, that's the hiddur early.
That's right. You can have a situation where the hiddur occurs before the mitzvah because I went out and bought a nicer thing. I didn't. Meaning, obviously, let's say a person buys the lulav and never shakes it.
The second before sukkah, it's a lemon. Doesn't become an esrog until sukkahs.
No, it's an esrog. You can't be yet to mitzvah with it.
But you can chop it up and use it.
Right. But the point is that you could technically say, if the mitzvah is to go out and spend extra money on mitzvahs, I went out and spent extra money on mitzvahs. Now, what happens if I went out and spent extra money and then I never ended up shaking the lulav of an esrog? Would I not get the credit for it? I'm not so sure. Again, if it's part and parcel of it, then obviously you have to do the mitzvah. But yesh l'adin, I don't know, maybe if the mitzvah is to go out and spend extra money, so I went out and spent extra money. I was an oinus and I wasn't able to shake the lulav of an esrog. I'm not sure. I think it's what to think about in this chakir of how to understand here the mitzvah. Right, same shayla, prati or klali, yeah, I think so.
You built a nice sukkah,
you never said it. You went somewhere else. Right. In a chanami. We spoke about it. Let's say you never build a sukkah, you always go with a sukkah hopping to everyone else's sukkah. So did you not do the mitzvah? I sat in a sukkah every moment of sukkah. So it was always someone else's. We spoke about that. So one second. Let's go back to this for a second. So the guy ties the aguda around my lulav. So the Ramah says, I'm only yoytze b'diavad. Why? Frek the Magen Avraham, what's up, shat? V'tzarechin. Why? Because the Magen Avraham assumes shat in the Ramah is because a guy is not in the parsha of lulav, and anyone who's not in the parsha of lulav can't help me do the mitzvah. Based on Rabbeinu Tam and Maseches Git. So anyone who's not in the parsha can't do the mitzvah. Frek the Magen Avraham, what do you mean? V'tzarechin. The Hakayim Balon, lulav ain't tzarech agad. That would be true if you actually need the agad to be part of the mitzvah. But you don't. It's not a chelik of the mitzvah. Interesting wording of the Magen Avraham. It sounds almost like we keep on saying that it's a dover study. It's a separate din. V'ayim b'sukkah daf yud alef beis v'tzarim v'tzarech loimar, says the Magen Avraham, what are you going to have to answer this kasha? Kivin shehu noy lemitzvah, choshuv kemitzvah atzmai. What do those words sound like in Lomdus? That hiddur mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself. It's part of the mitzvah itself. Because what was his kasha? His kasha was the hiddur mitzvah is a separate din. You don't really need an agudo. You only need to cause a hiddur mitzvah. So why should it be that the guy can't do it because he's not mechoyv in lulav? It's not a lulav thing. Now you can argue a guy is not mechoyv in hiddur mitzvah either. He's not mechoyv in hiddur mitzvah either. So says the Magen Avraham, no, you see from over here that something which is lenoy le mitzvah is as if it's the mitzvah itself. And therefore, just like the guy can't do the mitzvah itself, he can't do the hiddur mitzvah either.
So is he saying it's a separate mitzvah? Or
no, he's saying it's part and parcel.
Why is choshev kim mitzvah atzmo? Yeah.
That's
saying it's just as important as the actual mitzvah, right. Meaning it's its own mitzvah.
No. It's just like the mitzvah itself. And just like the mitzvah itself, the guy can't do.
I understand that, because that lashon is strange lashon to say that it's the same mitzvah.
Yeah. Choshev
kim mitzvah atzmo.
Because
he's saying
that it has the same halachic status. Now, here we can debate a little bit. He might mean it has the exact same halachic status, meaning, not necessarily in Lomdus, it's part and parcel. It just means that the way the rules they gave for Hidda Mitzvah copy the rules they gave for the mitzvah itself.
Just like he
can't do the mitzvah, he can't do the Hidda Mitzvah. But maybe it's possible that Hidda Mitzvah is taka separate mitzvah.
It's possible. The guy does that. It's not shlichus,
right.
Because
the Chavtza Shemitzvah needs to be ne'egad. The Chavtza Shemitzvah needs to be all wrapped up. So let's say Min HaShemayim somehow got wrapped up. That'd also be good.
Right. Okay. So you want to hold that? All
right. Right. So the question is, that's the kasha of the Magen Avraham. That's the Magen Avraham's kasha. If hiddur mitzvah is just a technical thing to make the mitzvah nice, so who cares who does the hiddur mitzvah? Let the monkey come in and do hiddur mitzvah.
What's
the difference? You're asking a different shaila. Now you were getting into another machloikis. There's another sub machloikis achrenim over here. Is hiddur mitzvah din in the gavra or is hiddur mitzvah din in the chavtza? I hate using those words, but sometimes you got to use those words. Right? Who's hiddur mitzvah about?
Types of hiddur mitzvah.
There probably is.
Like by matzah, like not eating matzah on
right.
Pesach.
The teyavon.
That's a hiddur mitzvah, but that's not completely not the chavtza.
Right. So that's what we have to break down. Sometimes hiddur mitzvah is a nicer object. That means the object looks nice, irrelevant to what I did.
The point is that I should beautify the mitzvah. However it is, whether it's in the chavtza or the gavra.
But
the point is that my mentality should be
good.
That, wow, this I'm having an opportunity to do a mitzvah for Hashem. And I want to do it in the most.
But I have to make it beautiful, or it has to be beautiful. I have to make it beautiful. I think it's beautified by someone else.
That's a riot that a guy shouldn't be able to do it because it's zekei l'vayu, right? So it's in other words,
Kabbis.
No, it's possessing our God, right?
Right. The question is, but if you look at it as I now have a nicer lulav, so here's some look at this beautiful lulav. How I got it to be beautiful maybe is irrelevant. Maybe I don't have to be the one to do it. I have to have it. I have to have one at the end of the day. How I got? Let's say someone gives it to me as a present.
To build a relationship between you and Hashem, you and mitzvahs, having it on its own.
You're getting too Jewish.
That's
too Jewish on me, right? Maybe I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it's a shaila. I think it's a fierce shaila. How do you understand it?
Maybe that says kosher doesn't mean kosher b'diavad. Maybe it means kosher, but you don't even lechachila.
Because you're not getting hiddur mitzvah. Because you're not getting hiddur mitzvah. But then the question is, because you're not doing the hiddur, or because a guy can't do hiddur mitzvah.
Whatever the reason is, though.
So that's part of Magen Avraham's kasha. Why can't the guy create the mitzvah? So says Rabbi Salvechik, what do you see from this Ramah? So he writes number 12. He says, a chabaraya from Reb Chaim, he goes a different route. I don't know why he doesn't bring this. This Ramah seems to be a shtakaraya that hiddur mitzvah is part of the mitzvah, at least by lulav. Okay, maybe not by every mitzvah, but from the fact that the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, you're really not supposed to have a guy do the aguda, even though the aguda is only hiddur mitzvah. Why? Because the guy can't do lulav. So what? They're two separate mitzvahs. Teretz is that they're one mitzvah. That's like Reb Chaim said by Bris Mila. This lechari should be a very shtakaraya. Says Rabbi Salvechik gets a different raya. Not sure why he doesn't bring this raya. Okay, maybe there's ways around. So he writes like this. What's his raya? Says Rabbi Salvechik number 12. Smach noisav l'das agoin Reb Chaim. He wants to bring a raya to the Zeda. What did Reb Chaim say? Reb Chaim said that there are some mitzvahs, some hidden mitzvahs that are part and parcel of the mitzvah itself, not just a separate din to do hidden mitzvah. So one example we have is Mila. Reb Chaim told us because Mila is the Shabbos for hidden mitzvah, so it must be it's part and parcel of the mitzvah. He says another raya. Ha'oisa lulav la'atzme mevorech bircha shachyanu. If you make your lulav, you prepare it, you make a shachyanu. Right, v'hine says Rabbi Salvechik, din zeh she'ogod es alulav mevarch b'shoah she'oigdoi chal gam al libe derabbanon she'lulav en tzarechagad. The halacha is if I put my lulav together, so I make a bracha, I can make a shachianu then, even if I hold like the rabbanon that I don't need to really actually bind everything together. So 1 second. V'chein pasuk Rambam. So says Rabbi Salvechik. 1 second. Shachyonu. Just a shachyonu. Right. So says Rabbi Salvechik. What? Like sukkah, like you find my sukkah. So one second. Ilu hayo agad rak noy ba'alma. If igud halulav is just a separate David study in the mitzvah of hider mitzvah, built the move on lamati asiyas is man haroi levarich as berachah shachianu. How does that explain how you're able to make a shachianu? Shachianu is going on the mitzvah. This has nothing to do with the mitzvah. This is a fulfillment of a separate mitzvah called hider mitzvah. So how do you explain why you're able to make the bracha? Amnam, however, but if you hold that the igud is hider mitzvah, but the hider mitzvah is part and parcel of the mitzvah itself, then when I make the agud, I'm not just doing hider mitzvah, I'm doing hider mitzvah of lulav, which is lulav, so then it makes sense to make a shachianu.
So myself, when you have to make the bracha, you also can make a shachianu. So here also, when you make the lulav, if you're not ma'agid it, why can't you make a
shachianu? Because what's the mitzvah?
Having a sukkah. What's the difference?
No, because there's no mitzvah to have a lulav. Mitzvah to take the lulav, pashtus. Here, no.
To have a sukkah, the mitzvah is to sit in a sukkah. Right. Because you can make a shachianu before sukkah.
Right, that's if you, because it might be the binyan sukkah is a mitzvah. That's what we keep on saying. There might be a possibility that binyan sukkah itself is a mitzvah. It's going to be hard to justify that. It's going to be hard to justify.
You're going
to
make a shachianu before sukkahs when you're putting it in the
before you shake the lulav. Before you shake the lulav.
So then, wouldn't you have to make the mitzvah, the bracha on the mitzvah first?
That is, the mitzvah is to shake it. Now, so the question that my salvation is bothered with is, how can I make a shachianu if this is not the mitzvah? The mitzvah is not to beautify.
It's
part of the mitzvah.
But how could you do the second part of the mitzvah before you've actually done the main part?
Yeah, that's a separate issue. That we find by sukkah like that. By binyan sukkah, you have like that.
The binyan has to be done before sukkah. So you can't build it. So how could you make? It's not the zman yet to make the bracha.
Right.
So when it's after already, right. When it's already, you can't connect the bracha.
That's correct. That's true. 100%. Right. So it could be lulav and sukkah are comparable, and could be they're fundamentally different. Now we have to go back to page one for a second. We skipped over a very important Rabbeinu Hananel. I think it's very important. If you ask, where do we learn hider mitzvah from? You stop someone on the street and ask him, why do you spend extra money on mitzvahs? The answer is because it says, Zeh keli vanve. Rashi says, Kimat mefoshim baba kam. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, number 9. This is Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of the Gemara, in Mesechus Shabbos, in the sugya of Ner Chanukah Mahajan Mina Mahajan. Okay, keep that in mind. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, this is Rabbeinu Chananel, the sugya over there. He writes, She'imbol ahadir ha-mitzvah, b'yesim mishlish. If you want to beautify a mitzvah more than a third, bidamei of its value, in a chayef, you're not chayef, we mentioned last week, it's only achlish, kol zem yagia shechayef koidim lehidim mitzvah, because you got to live first, you got to pay your bills before you start overspending. Avlim zimen lo yakodish baruch umaman shaloi mi yagia, ubikish lahadar mitzvah b'yesim mishlish. Let's say you're very wealthy, you have a lot of money, so you want to spend it on that, harishus biyodai, you're permitted, period. Maybe, maybe not. Continues, v'amahadir ha-mitzvah mishubach, and someone who beautifies mitzvahs is praised. K'detnina b'ner chanaka v'amahadrin ner l'cholecha v'echad v'amahadrin min ha-mahadrin. So if you make the period right there, the way you read Rabbeinu Chananel seems to say that what's the mikar for hider mitzvah? Not zeh keli vanveyu, but the mikar for hider mitzvah is chanaka. How do you know there's a din hider mitzvah? You learn that from Chanukah. Because there's such a thing called Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin. By definition, that's hider mitzvah. So you learn from Chanukah. It's like a memetzinu. From Chanukah, l'chol ha'ter kula, that there's something called hider mitzvah. Oh, what's the problem with the Rabbeinu Chananel? Now you see why I didn't skip this Rabbeinu Chananel. What?
Chanukah's only Darbonim.
Okay, so we learn from. So the Rabbonim made up by the mitzvah. Again. If we didn't see Gemara Shabbos, so you'd say. Oh, it's
Agnes. Not always.
Maybe the concept of Hidah Mitzvah first started when they looked at into Chanukah. Now, why is this a problem? It's against our Gemara. Our Gemara says we learned it from Zeh Keli Vanveyu. So what's one way out is? One way out is saying no. That one way out of saying that, like Argumar had a possibility that's machlokes Abu Shaul and Tanakamba. So maybe this Rabbeinu Chananel held like Abu Shaul that we don't learn it out from Zeh Keli Vanveyu, but instead we learn it out from Chanukah. That's a possibility.
But where did the Chacham get it from in Chanukah?
Oh, that's the problem. Now, if anyone remembers, we mentioned 2 weeks ago that Rabbeinu Chananel happens to be the opinion that Hidden Mitzvah is Dereisa. So now all bets are off. Now we got a big problem. Rabbeinu Chananel writes in Baba Kama, when the Gemara has a suffix, if it's a shlish milagav, a shlish milabar, and the Gemara leaves off teku, says Rabbeinu Chananel, teku go to chumra. Why? Because hid the mitzvah is deraisa. And then he writes over here that hid the mitzvah is learned from Chanukah? Something is very, very strange.
Unless he's just trying to say he's not doing hid the mitzvah with the Rabbanan Dinim. And since he has this in that it's deraisa stam, he wants to.
So what does he want when saying Mahadir Kamai Chanukah? So there's a piece in Briskerov. Again, I can't photocopy Briskerov because the Briskerov is not on my Yitzhak Chachma. I don't know why they have it this way, but that's it. Yeah?
Maybe you see from there that you go more than a
Shlish. Ah! That's the Briskerov. That's the Briskerov's word. So the last stickle Briskerov in Hilchas Chanukah, the Briskerov quotes this Rabbeinu Chananel, and Briskerov says, one second, Frank the Briskerov, what's this whole Tumel Hidda Mitzvah? Why don't we look into Ner Chanukah? Isn't Ner Chanukah the example of Hidda Mitzvah? Frank to Briskerov, one second. Every hiddur mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is always more than a shlish. So how does the din of Ner Chanukah of Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, work with the din of hiddur mitzvah at shlish? Zok to Briskerov, that's goof the chiddush. There's a regular din called hiddur mitzvah at shlish. Then there's a new din. By Chanukah, we go beyond that. Normally, by regular mitzvahs, we say you max out at a third. But when it comes to Ner Chanukah, we have permission to go beyond the third. We go even a step further. That's because of, right, why ever they structured it that way.
So that's beyond Zechariah Levi.
Right, it's beyond. So that's what Rabbeinu Chananel means over here. If a person wants to go beyond the third, where do I have a mekar to go beyond the third? Of Zen, says Rabbeinu Chananel, look into Chanukah. Because Chanukah is always above the third.
Saying that there's your mekar for other mitzvahs to go above a third?
If you want to go above a third, which you don't have to do, look at the Lashon. V'amahadir ha-mitzvah mishubach. Why are you mishubach? Because you don't really have to.
But I thought the Gemara in Baba Kama was saying that there's a limit, whether it's going to be inside, outside.
The limit is what you have to do. What you can do, meaning how do I know that there's an inyan to be mahadir more than a shlish? Maybe I'm just throwing out money. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, look in Shabbos. From the fact that by Chanukah we go above a third, you see there's at least a concept that if you want to do it, by Chanukah it's mandatory. B'chol HaTorah Kula, it's optional.
Din in Shlish is what?
It's what you're obligated to do.
That's obligated
yeah.
For
Zekei? Yeah. It's a mitzvah to Rabbanan. Yeah.
He's not talking about Zekei Levi.
Right, because he's saying Zekei Levi.
Above Zekei
Levi. Right, because Zekei Levi is a third. But if you want. A third of either, however you're going to calculate it. The Gemara's Mesubah. No, of the object. Of the event. But let's say you want to go above a third. So then the Gemara says, you don't have to do it. But I want to do it. Who says, I want to do it, but you're wasting money. Maybe you're supposed to keep the money. Maybe you should give the money to Tzedakah instead of giving it to buy a nicer Esrig. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, but I find by Chanukah there's a concept. Now you can argue. Maybe Chanukah is different because it's Pesumin Issa. Maybe that's what. Okay, that's a different. I think we spoke about this in Chanukah maybe even. But you see at least it's Da Musig, says the Briskerov, that you find that you go above. Now, that's correct. So the Torah says, "Avad the regular hidden mitzvah, avad is the rice." This shtickle with the Rabbeinu Chananel tells you learn from their Chanukah is going above the third. Now it might depend on where you make the. I mean, if you look at the Rabbeinu Chananel, there's like a little dot after the biyodai. It might depend if you make a period there or not. How you read Rabbeinu Chananel? It sounds like Rabbeinu Chananel can be read regular. V'amahadir hamitzvah meshubach doesn't mean amahadir hamitzvah yoisim mibishlish. It means v'amahadir hamitzvah, period. And then he sounds like Rabbeinu Chananel is learning hidden mitzvah from Chanukah, which is very, very difficult.
They can't be.
Then you have a steer Rabbeinu Chananel. So if you want to, and this is why I found Kinnir, this is the way I think the Biskarov thinks Pshan Rabbeinu Chananel is. Rabbeinu Chananel is addressing the kasha the Biskarov had is that every Chanukah is always above Shlish. So Rabbeinu Chananel, that's why hidden mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is not typical hidden mitzvah. And therefore, this Rabbeinu Chananel, I think, with Ataka work out were very, very, very nicely. Okay, that we were supposed to get to last week also. Okay, so let's move on for this week. We left off with this stuff is new. Mikanul Haba is new stuff. We still got to get to it.
3 minutes.
Yeah, in 3 minutes or less. Okay, so the Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer has a kasha on this Gemara based on the Beis Halevi's pshat. Let's just chaz the Beis Halevi had a pshat that the reason why you don't go back for the strands, again, the Torah was of the opinion, I'm sorry, the Rambam was of the opinion that if you're doing a milah b'chol, and you forget the extra strands, and those strands do not affect the status of the mila. Hidden mitzvah does not require you to go back once you put the knife down. So we were all bothered. Why not? Says the Beis Halevi, because there's no hidden mitzvah after the mitzvah is over. You finish the mitzvah, it's over. Putting down the knife is equivalent to the mitzvah being over. Once the mitzvah is over, there's no hidden mitzvah. Frank the Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, one second. What did it say in the Gemara? It said in the Gemara, you're supposed to have a nice wrapping for the Sefer Torah. What mitzvah is that? The mitzvah is to write a Sefer Torah. I wrote the Sefer Torah, the mitzvah is over. Now, after the mitzvah, I'm supposed to beautify the mitzvah? I thought you can't beautify mitzvahs after the mitzvah is over. So, Frank Yitzchak Blazer, number 13. He says, "V'hinei b'chal zeh keli v'anveu mivur b'brayis lichtev sefer toyno v'lichruch oisa b'shira imnoim v'hinei das har b'achroim de'ikar mitzvah chsiva sefer toyhu mikayim b'ksiv asoy." It's the actual writing. V'im nevda ein tzarich lichtev shenis. It's a big chiddush. If you wrote it, then it got lost, and no one ever used it. But I wrote a sefer toyhu. I'm here to the mitzvah. I know never use it. It's not about using. It's about writing. So if the whole mitzvah is the writing, so maybe it's like blazer. How do you understand why you have to have a nice wrapping? What mitzvah is there? Oh, good. That's what the Bishop Rav is going to answer. The Bishop Rav is going to answer that you're going to have to split over here what the mitzvahs are. We keep on reading every mitzvah. We think the mitzvah of lulav no shavu no good. Now you get the sefer Torah. What's the mitzvah of sefer Torah? It's the writing. So says the Brisker Rav, number 14. This is quoted by one of the Enoch Reb David Soloveitchik. He has shurim on, I think this is on Nazir. His shurim on Nazir. He writes the Moron, the Brisker Rav, Amad the Bebrais Ahocham Avoid the Bedina Zekim Aveyu, number 14. Nichlolim Ba Beizin Yonim. Said the Brisker Rav, our Gemara in Shabbos is the Makar that there's two types of Hiddur Mitzvah. Now this is not the Brisker Rav's Chiddush. He saw it by his grandfather, by his father Reb Chaim. What are the two dinim of Hiddur Mitzvah? Echad Hiddur Be'etzem HaMitzvah, where you actually make the mitzvah nicer. Kegoin Sukana Lolovna Taidei She'oisem Yofim Etzem HaMitzvah Muhuderes Yosef. A nicer Esrig is a nicer mitzvah of Esrig. That's one type of Hiddur Mitzvah. That's the classical type of Hiddur Mitzvah. Bey, says the Bishkur, what's the second type of Hiddur Mitzvah? Hiddur ve'yifui b'dovet study. She'eine be'etzem ha-mitzvah. When you beautify something that's not really part of the mitzvah. Kaha, de'koyrech shiro'im noyim l'sefer Torah. De'etzem ha-mitzvah de'sefer Torah, elim hu deres yoysa ha'idezeh. When I write a sefer Torah, that's the mitzvah. What I wrap it with is not a chelik of the mitzvah.
So it just makes it nicer.
Like a nice esrig box. That's a mikra for a nice esrig box.
Or even a nice menorah.
Maybe.
Right? Yeah. The menorah itself, the chanukiah.
Right? Maybe. If you hold it, that's true. That every chavtish or mitzvah that can be done, every pashas hit the mitzvah is how many candles or the oil.
You can put them in bottle caps, right?
So that's a separate. That's what Brisker Rav is going to say in a second. So he writes, "What's the makar? Where do I see from our Gemara that that works from the case of the Sefer Torah?" However, if you look in the next piece over here, number 15, there he has the same kashi. He quotes a later piece. He says, "No, the mitzvah that we have by Sefer Torah is not the ksiva Sefer Torah. The hidden mitzvah is covet Sefer Torah. There's another mitzvah." It's covered Sefer Torah. Respect for the Sefer Torah. That respect for the Sefer Torah is by wrapping with... Right. That's right. That has that Zekeil Vanveyu also. So we mentioned that last time. So when the Gemara says Sefer Torah, it doesn't mean the mitzvah... The Gemara never says Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Gemara just says Sefer Torah, no. Doesn't say what you do with it. Says Zakti Brisker Rav, it doesn't mean the writing. One last... Again, this is already what we need to get to from this week.
You have the extra problem of Chavala.
That's correct. That's right. So what do you mean? So that's why you don't go back on Shabbos.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you don't go.
Even during the week.
Right. That's according to the Chassam Sefer, right? We mentioned that Pshat in the Chassam Sefer. The reason why you don't go back has nothing to do with anything. It's because you have the issue of Chaval. 100%. Okay, let's start something new. We have to do something new. This was all last week's sheet, if anyone remembers. We got to do something new today. Ein Beis Meresh B'li Chiddush. So Reb Asher Weiss, we started talking about last week. So he has a kash on this Gemara. He says, number 16, Ube'emis Nistapakti. Be'in Kul Misna. The Gemara said you have to have a nice pen. So what does it mean to have a nice pen?
For
the pen has to look nice. You know, you have a fancy decorated pen when you write a Sefer Torah, whatever. And then if that's true, that's a very big chiddush. The mitzvah is the writing. The pen is the machshire. So you tell me, is it didn't hit the mitzvah on machshire? That I have to have a nice pen?
Is it any worse than the wrapping?
Uh-oh, that's what I have to get to. That's the shayla. Oh, he says Rabbi Asher Weiss, Shema hakavona bekumis noa hu lekumis mesukan v'toiv sheyuchal lichtei bo b'ksav noa. What's a nice pen?
It writes
nicely. And the mail of the ksav will be nicer. That's already in the chef to shal mitzvah. Says Rabbi Asher Weiss, he writes over here, he said the simple reading of the Gemara, mashma da hapirish kipshutai, she ha kul misna. It should be a nice pen that looks nice. Ubefrat the etzim ksivas sefer Torah, mitzvah the kisvu lachem, v'lo yirak kriyas of alimud ba. This also might be tullian. If the mitzvah is the learning from the sefer Torah, then the writing should really also only be a hechsher mitzvah. But if you hold the mitzvah is the actual writing, so then it's all about the ink, it's not about the pen. Ulefizeh, lomo lo yeh mitzvah sakin sakin, no, muhuteris lamila. Why don't you find you should have to have a nice knife for the milah?
Why would they say bidyo also? Why they have ink also?
I guess there's the writing and then the ink that it produces. I guess the style of writing and then the ink itself. So Rav Asher Weiss is ma'ariv that this is very shver. How do you read the Gemara? What's kulmus na? Kulmus na means you have to have a nice pen, or does it mean you have to have a nice writing? He thinks the kapshut of the Gemara sounds like kulmus na means a nice pen. So it means every time you do a mitzvah, the machshire mitzvah also has to be nice. It means when the moel buys a knife, he has to buy an extra fancy scalpel.
Not a, he's saying that the
the knife of the milah is equivalent to the cipher's pen.
Is it the effectuation of
that's one side. One side is it just looks nice. Design. It looks nice. So if that's the pshat, so every moel has to buy a very fancy, I don't know if they make such a concept of a fancy scalpel to do the meal, because hiddur mitzvah, and it's very hard to understand. Okay, so believe the next week we'll deal with that, and then we'll deal with the shita of Rambam. If the Rambam even believes there's something called hiddur mitzvah, I'll have to leave that for next week.